Good evening. While our number is down, it's still looking better than it has been on Sunday evenings, and I appreciate everyone who has looked into their life and have decided that it was needed for them to be here this evening, that they should come together and spend time in singing songs of praise, and to read from the Word of God, and to spend time in a study of His Word, and to offer up prayers unto God. We hope that you'll find these things beneficial. We appreciate you coming out and hope that you'll join us again. Just to add into what Brother Harold had mentioned about the meeting, I do have a few announcements in the back. I just used what cardstock I had left this afternoon. So there's some of the postcard size that you can mail out. There's quite a few of the business card size that you can just carry with you in your pocket. And several others there. And I'll have some more, Lord willing, Wednesday evening when I get some more cardstock and paper. And we'll have, like I said, I'll print up as much as you can pass out, and just make sure that you pass them out. Don't let them sit and find them in November. They didn't serve any purpose if that's the case. But be sure to be inviting your friends, your neighbors. I've heard Brother Dan Rude preach. He does an excellent job, and I feel quite sure he'll do the best that he can here for us. And so let's do the best that we can in preparing for the meeting and inviting people and encourage them to be out. We began talking this morning about the need to equip the saints of a local congregation for the work that is before us. And we noted in our lesson this morning that the Lord was in the work of building His church. We can see that in the beginning in the book of Acts, and we can see how He continued working with His disciples throughout the book of Acts in various providential ways. But we can also see where He's not stopped in working towards the building of His church today. His church is still in a growing process. Even though we don't have apostles and prophets, as we noted this morning, their purpose was to lay the foundation. And the purpose of the other gifts that we read of there in Ephesians chapter 4, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists, is to continue to build upon the foundation that has already been laid, to equip the saints to every good work. And so we as a congregation need to be doing all that we can to strive to equip the members of the local congregation, each and every one of us, that they can be about the work that is set before them. And we as individuals always need to be looking and finding more ways that we can help, more things that we can do. I've been very pleased to see that we've had a number of the younger ones that have been willing to step into a teaching role and to help in the teaching of our young people, and have done an excellent job with that. And we need to continue to encourage them to grow and increase in what they're doing. We all need to be looking at other areas that we can help in serving the Lord, and we're going to be looking at some of those things as the series of lessons progresses. But we need to be thinking, is there a member in the Lord's church that we find is doing everything, that we find is wearing a number of hats? Maybe we need to be looking to see if maybe we can take a few of those hats away, and not necessarily take it away, but help them out in that, so that it's not always coming down to the same individual. There's so many, as we've said this morning, so many little things that we can be doing that too many times one or two individuals are taking upon themselves because no one else will help out in that. Let's be doing all that we can. We also noted that that the Lord opens doors for those that are prepared to serve in a local congregation. I firmly believe that the Lord is only going to give opportunities to teach the gospel to a congregation that's able to teach and able to continue to teach the things that are necessary for that young babe in Christ to grow. And so as individuals, we need to be those that are preparing our lives, and it takes preparation so that we can teach the gospel. You should not every year be heard to say, well, I'd teach more, but I just don't feel like I know enough. You failed the Lord this year if you continue to be the same thing that you were last year. If your excuse is continually, well, I just don't know enough, folks, I'd have a hard time saying that you're going to make it to heaven. Because as we've been noting in various lessons in the past weeks, is as Christians, we are to always be increasing and abounding in the work of the Lord, increasing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we should always say, well, I know more now than I did last year, and I'm more capable of teaching the gospel in whatever way than I was last year. We need to be working so that we grow to the point to where God looks at us and sees a congregation that is prepared, a congregation that is anxiously looking forward to doors being opened and is preparing itself so that they can be useful in the Lord's service. I want to look this evening at just real briefly at some problems that we're going to face there with the growth. You know, we need to look at these things from a practical viewpoint, and any congregation that wishes to grow must give serious consideration to the equipping of its saints. To understand what I mean, consider the challenge of maintaining consistent church growth. One of the first things we want to note is that many face the problem. They face the problem of what's called the revolving door syndrome. We need to be looking at these things and asking ourselves, is that something that we're facing? Is that something that we're having a difficulty with? Many churches have little problem gaining members. And we can gain members quite easily if we just put forth the effort that's necessary. The problem is that many churches that are gaining members, they tend to lose them just as quickly as they gain them. It's always amazed me to look at churches and they always seem to sometimes... I'm sorry. I'm sitting here looking at it. Y'all aren't. Well, that's just strange. Chuck, you mind shutting that down again? I don't know what's wrong with the cable or if it's this. Yeah, if nothing else, we'll just go back to the way things were. But as we look at these things, we want to understand that there is a need for us as Christians to be doing more, to carry on in our work, and make sure that we are a group of Christians that can keep the group that they have. That as things go on, as things continue, and as they increase, that we're able to keep those members that we find coming into the congregation. We need to make sure that we're a group of people that will retain the new members. As I mentioned, many congregations seem to have difficulty with this because as things grow, they fail to keep them. They fail to teach them. They fail to carry on in the work that is set before them. And so we as Christians need to make sure that we are doing what we can and that the local church is growing in the way that it should, that we can keep them. We need to make sure that we're doing everything we can, that every member feels like they're a part of that congregation, that every member is being taught the way that they need to be taught, that every member is being carried in the way that they need to be carried. It's been interesting to look and see that it's been a well-documented thing that many churches do not break the 75 barrier or the 200 barrier. Now, if you'll look, as things were going this morning, we were getting close to 60. And if things continue to progress in the way that we hope, then perhaps we'll be hitting that 75 barrier and we might find the difficulty that is involved in getting past that. But it takes working together. It takes working together. It takes spending time together. It takes growing together. And so I've said this before and I think it needs to be said more often than it is. Sometimes I think churches need to slack off on their focus on evangelism and focus more on the group being what it should be. Focus more on the growth of the church spiritually. And I firmly believe that if we focus more on the growth of the church spiritually, the evangelism will take care of itself. I believe the work of edification is the greatest work that the church has, and it's oftentimes the work that the church is failing in the most. And so I would hope that we would all look and see what we can do to go beyond the status quo, to move beyond where we are. Let's never be satisfied. Well, the bills are mostly being covered and things are going fairly well, and so we can just continue on with the way things as they are. Folks, we can't get into heaven with that attitude, and we need to keep that in mind. As we continue looking, we need to understand the need to have involvement of every member. We need to have every member involved. There should be no one that feels that they can just sit there. There should be no one that feels that, well, there's nothing that I can do. And that's what you have a lot of times. You'll have the few that are doing everything, and they're over here, they're going, why am I always the one that has to do everything? And then you got the few over here that never do anything, and they're like, well, if I knew that there was something to do, I'd do it. It's just like in a husband-wife relationship, it oftentimes falls down to a lack of communication. We need to understand the importance of every member involved in the work. Once again, go back and look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's look real quickly at what the Apostle Paul is saying there in verse 16 in writing to, he's writing to a congregation, folks. In Ephesians 4 in verse 16, he says there, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Folks, every joint, every member is doing their part, doing all that they can and looking for ways to increase. There are many things that have to be done. There are many small things. Well, I don't feel comfortable getting up and leading singing. I don't feel comfortable getting up and preaching. Well, what about some other things? Chuck doesn't like to be patted on the back. He doesn't like a lot of recognition for the things that he does. But have you ever noticed how many times he has to get up and get down throughout the service because he's starting the recording and he's finishing the recording and then he goes through and he publishes that recording and then he puts it on the web? Now, it takes a little bit of understanding to be able to do those things, but it doesn't take a whole lot. You want to know why I know? Because I can do it. If I can figure it out, anyone can. I'm not that smart of a fella. Why is one person having to do the same things all the time? What's going to happen if Chuck ends up in the hospital? God forbid that that happened. What's going to happen? Is it going to come down to me going and setting the recording and then coming up here and preaching and going back? Do you see how many little things there are that can be done? He's already the treasurer. And he already does a number of other things. He's the webmaster. Why does he have to do so many things when we have so many other men in the congregation? Why? Why does it come down to the same few teachers? That's the way it has been in the past. But thankfully we have a couple of individuals that are willing to step up and to teach. But why is it in so many congregations it comes down to the same teachers having to teach? Well, I don't feel like I'm qualified to teach. Well, why are you not qualified to teach? Why? Why are you not qualified to tell Bible stories and to encourage the young kids to sit still and to come up with activities? You had kids. They turned out all right, didn't they, for the most part? Well, that qualifies you. Why can we not devote more time? Why do we leave it up to the few? We have to have the involvement of every member. Flavel R. Yeakley, in his book, Why Churches Grow, emphasized the importance of every member getting involved in some way or another. These are some quotations from his book. The first thing we're going to look at is it says, the more involved a person becomes in the work of the congregation, the more important the congregation becomes in his life. It logically follows, therefore, that a congregation which offers people many opportunities for involvement would be successful, be more successful in attracting and keeping converts than would a congregation which offers few opportunities for involvement. What he's trying to say is the more we give people to do, the more activities we carry out, and the more people take a part, the more important they feel. And the more important the local congregation feels. But there's that difficult part, getting people to take more active part. We're already so busy in everything else, in school and in work, in pleasure. Well, let's get together more. Let's send out a bulletin. Let's do this. Well, that takes activities on the part of more than two individuals. We don't have anybody that would help with that. Why? Is the Lord's work of such little importance in your life that you can't give up a few hours in front of the television? Folks, let's think about that for just a moment. Do we really want to say to the Lord, I don't have time? As we continue looking at some of the things he has to say, he says, total evangelism includes more than reaching the lost. It also includes involving the members in the work of the local congregation. If a congregation does not use its members, it loses them. The congregations with the highest dropout rate were the congregations with the lowest involvement level. In other words, what he's trying to say is those who come and sit in the pews, and that's all they do, they're the ones that are hardest to keep. And you look at congregations, I'm sure y'all have been in or been aware of other congregations, and you look and you see when they've lost a number of members, who are the ones that leave? The ones that do all the work, the ones that are active, the ones that are there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night are the ones that are hardly ever there. They don't really put a lot of effort into being there. They don't want to really take part. Those are the ones that leave. And so the points that he's bringing up are very important for us to understand. We need to make sure that there are opportunities for everyone to be involved, that we don't leave anyone out. He goes on to say that if a congregation can maintain a high involvement level, its conversion rate will be higher, its dropout rate will be lower, and thus its net growth will be higher. He's saying we'll keep the ones we've got and we'll add to that. Isn't that what I just said a little while ago? If every member is working as they should, if we devote the time that we need to making sure that everyone's doing what they can be doing, everyone's taking a part, everyone feels involved, everyone has something that they're doing, if we make sure that the group is working together as we're supposed to, the growth will come from that. But you listen to a lot of congregation, it's always on, we've got to get to the lost, we've got to get to the lost, we've got to get to the lost. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying let's forget the lost. I'm saying maybe we need to refocus our energies a little bit. Look inward. Build ourselves from the inside out. And we might find that the growth is just going to come all by itself. That as we grow, as we become more involved, what happens when you become more involved about something? You talk about it more, don't you? When you have an active part in something, you generally it comes up in your conversations. And there you find that you're evangelizing more. And so we have the challenge of involving members. Yeakley also addressed the challenge of a congregation that it faces to involve every member, especially when it starts to grow. And I know a lot of people that are against large congregations. I don't think there's such a thing as a too big congregation. I know there are probably people in this room that would disagree with me. But I'd take them to Jerusalem in AD 30 and say, here's a congregation of 3,000 individuals. It worked then. He says, in general, the larger the congregation, the lower the involvement level. Why does the involvement level tend to decrease as size increases? He says, the problem with the larger congregations is that they have not been able to increase the number of task assignments fast enough to keep pace with their expanding membership. In other words, what he's trying to say is as the church grows, they keep the same responsibility list, they never increase in that, and so nobody else becomes involved. And once again, you go back into that evil cycle of people not being involved, falling away. They don't feel important. They don't really feel like they're a part. He goes on to say that actually the real problem was not always the actual roles to member ratio, but was sometimes the perceived roles to member ratio. In other words, a larger congregation might actually have more than enough specific task assignments to go around, but the members might not be aware of the many ways in which they could get involved. Once again, it comes down to a lack of communication. The leaders of the congregation are failing to communicate to the members, hey, we've got these responsibilities. We need help in these things. Too many times you have individuals, and I find myself getting into this category sometimes, well, I can do it faster and I can do it better. I know what needs to be done and I can do it. And so I don't tell anybody. Why? I learned from a video that my brother sent me that I'm not supposed to talk about my wife in the sermon. If you want to hear about it, I'll send you a link to it, but it doesn't belong in the pulpit. But sorry, honey, you're coming up. My mother-in-law, she doesn't like me talking about her either. Usually I have good things to say about her. But my mother-in-law was one of those individuals that when my wife was growing up as a child, when it come time to cook and everything, instead of teaching my daughter, my wife, how to cook. She was like, I can get it done faster. That's just the way I can get it done faster. I can get it done better. I need to hurry up and get it done. And so when Ann and I got married, her cooking skills were rather limited. Now I'm living proof that her cooking skills have more than improved. And anyone else who has been to our house knows that she's a good cook. And one of the things that I've encouraged her to do with Brooklyn is take your time. Get involved. So what if it doesn't taste as good as if you did it by yourself? We'll still eat it. And that's what we need to be doing. Instead of letting the same individuals keep doing the same thing because they may be better at it. How is anybody else going to get better? If the same individuals stand up here and teach the Bible class in the auditorium every single Sunday morning and every single Wednesday night, how is anybody else going to get better at it? If the same individuals teach number 6 class and number 7 class and number 1 class, how is anybody else going to get any better at it? If we're not doing what we can to improve, and perhaps we're not telling them this opportunity is available. How is anyone going to learn a little bit more about keeping up the web and and keeping those things going if they never take part in it. Recording the lessons. Preparing the Lord's table. Folks, there are so many things that we need to get more people involved. And that's what he talks about. A lot of times there's responsibilities there. It's just people perceive there's nothing for me to do because others are already taking care of it. And so he goes on to say that if a congregation has a good actual roles to member ratio, but a low perceived roles to member ratio, the problem is one of communication. A congregation can have a high involvement level no matter how large it becomes if that congregation will do the necessary organizational work so as to have a high actual roles to member ratio, and if the congregation's leaders will communicate in the right way so as to have a high perceived roles to members ratio. There are so many things. If you don't think we've got enough going on that for you to do something, we can add. We can add additional Bible classes on Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, Friday nights, Monday nights, Saturday mornings. We can have a women's class. We can have a men's class. We can have a singing class. We can have a time where we get together in various groups and send out cards to people instead of leaving it to the one or two other individuals that are really good about sending out cards. We can make sure that people are being cared for or being watched over. But it takes time and it takes organization. So the challenge is not just to have something for people to do, but to let them know about it. Not sit in the men's business meeting and talk about the lack of involvement and leave it there. We need to let people know that there are things that they can be doing. Things that we need to take part. And I think we can see these things that this fellow is setting forth in his book. I believe we can look in Acts chapter 2 and we can see it in the first century church. Turn over with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we want to begin reading there at the end of the Apostle Peter's sermon and the reaction that was carried on there. We want to look at the things that are there. As we look there in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 44, we see that everyone was involved. In Acts chapter 2, let's begin reading there in verse 44. And all those who had believed were together. Now, let's stop for just a moment. Let's analyze this. Everyone, isn't that what he means by all those? Who's the all those? The 3,000 that obeyed the gospel, plus the apostles and those that were already following the Lord. All those who had believed were together, had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Content, day by day, continuing with one mind, they were all together in thought in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Look at this. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Here we can see that it goes beyond just the work of the local congregation. When's the last time you had somebody from the local congregation into your home? Not everyone has the ability to have the entire congregation in their home. I understand that. I fully understand that. That shouldn't stop you from having someone. You see, we fail to see all the work that can be done, all the work that needs to be done to emulate the first century church. We need to be spending more time together. Not just as a congregation, but as individuals in one another's homes. When's the last time you had a singing in your house? You announce a singing. If I'm not sick, I'll do my best to be there. I'll bring my family with me. When's the last time you had a Bible study in your home? Opened up your home to a group of young people or to a group of older people to have a Bible study? You see the great work that can be done? You don't have to teach the Bible study. I'll teach it. I imagine there's several other men that would be more than willing to step forward to teach a Bible study. You give them the advance notice that they need. Continuing day by day. They were in the temple. They were in one another's homes. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. I challenge you to find a congregation closer than the congregation in Jerusalem. They were so close that just a few chapters later, when trouble arose, they quickly solved the problem and remained close, even in face of the persecution that was to come. But let's look at the results that they had. They were coming together daily, and they were also reaping results daily. In Acts chapter 2, there in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Folks, I think verses 44 through 46 are the reason why we find verse 47 there. They kept a continual presence before the people that were around them. They were constantly in the temple studying the Word of God, listening to the apostles. And anytime that they weren't there, they were in one another's homes. They were talking with one another. They were spending time with one another. They loved each other. And a love that went beyond just saying, I love my brethren. A love that says, I love my brethren so much that I'll even invite them into my home. That's true love. True love is when you say, hey, come on over and let's have lunch. Come on over, let's have dinner. True love is when you'll open up your home in hospitality to them. True love is not just coming and sitting in the pew beside them. That's not it. Folks, if we want to grow, and that's the big question here. If we want to grow, and I don't think there's anyone here that would honestly say, no, I don't want this congregation to grow. But if you honestly want this congregation to grow, then you need to find what you can be doing. Who cares if someone else is already doing it? If they can do multiple things, trust me, they'd be happy to go, well, do you want to do this? Sure, let me show you how it's done. They would love that. If we want this congregation to grow, each of you and myself have got to be doing all that we can. Every member. There's no one that can say, well, there's nothing I can do. I told you, Brother Carey is reaching an age to where pretty much all that he can do is be here. And that's a great work. And I know there are probably times when he doesn't really feel like being here, but he's here anyway. And he puts some of us others that we might have aches and pains and stay at home, he puts us to shame. He's not the only one in the audience that comes with aches and pains. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Let's be looking and seeing what we can do. Once again, go back to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 16, once again, the Apostle Paul writes and tells us, he says, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now you pay attention to that. Each individual part. That's me. That's you. For the congregation to grow, you have to work. Don't find yourself being that one talent man who took the talent, put it in a handkerchief, and hid it in the ground. What did the Lord say to him? Depart from me. You wicked, lazy, or slothful servant. You have no place in heaven. That sounds a little harsh. But you know, that's just the way hell is. So maybe you're doing some things, but you're not doing as much as you can. Increase. Grow. Abound. Find things that you can be doing so that this congregation can grow in leaps and bounds. That's what we want, isn't it? We want these pews to be filled. We want these rooms to be open and them to be overflowing. We want the problem of having to figure out how to seat people. Those are the good kinds of problems, not the problems of whether or not to fill in the cracks or pump the septic. Those just go with keeping up a building. We want the problem of how do we fit everybody in here? How do we keep everybody busy? If you're not doing all that you can be doing, then increase. Grow in your service to the Lord. The song that has been chosen is number 332. An apt title, right? Look at what it says. I surrender all. I don't have time to do anything else. Then don't sing this song. Because when you say I surrender all, you're saying I surrender my spare time to the Lord. If the Lord asks it of me, I'll give it to Him. If you don't have the ability, but you really do, you just don't have the desire to increase in it, then don't sing this song. Because Because when you sing, I surrender all, you're saying, Lord, all the abilities that you've given to me, I surrender in my use to you. And so if you find in your life in any way that you're not serving the Lord as you should, whether in obeying His gospel or remaining faithful in your service to Him, if you need to obey the gospel, come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sins, and be buried in baptism. If you need to come forward and repent of sin in your life, that you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've been that lazy servant, return to the Lord and say, I surrender all to you, and I will do anything you ask of me. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Whatever your situation might be, make it right with the Lord this night as we stand and as we sing.